And you know, so that when they come out of that school, they can enter into any college or one of the best colleges or one of the best universities. Prepare them in that way. Like, for example, I mean, when I think of a school, what is the objective of the school going to be? The objective of the school will be to create leaders for the society. That's what the world needs. The world needs leaders. And that's what we have to, you know, groom. We have to prepare. Like, leaders means, you know, kind of succeeding in every area. Like, say for example, I mean, ideally, maybe you can call it a dream, you know. So when I think of a school, maybe I dream of it like this. That a school, first of all, if there is a school like that, I would set it up in India. And for various reasons. One of the reasons is, you know, it's financially viable. I'll explain why. In India, say, I can get, if I would set up a school like that, I would set it up on 100 acres land, on 100 acre piece of land, and set it up in a very high class way, right? So that, you know, parents will feel confident that yes, I'm sending my child to a real worthwhile school. And then, you know, like, get children come from different parts of the world. You see, set it up there, you know, so, and it'll be a boarding school. And people can come. Actually, our congregation is there all over the world, and they want to send their children in a proper school where they can have proper upbringing. And so, you know, like, so we get children from all over the world coming there. In that way, to get about 200-400 children over a period of time will not at all be difficult. So you have a school with, say, 300 students. It's a boarding school, first-class boarding school, you know, like the best private school that you can think of in America. That's the standard there. But the parents have to pay only about $300 a month. Because in India, you know, with $300, you're going to boarding, lodging and education and everything can be taken care of. Get the best teachers, also from all over the world, because our community has sufficient qualified teachers. You know, if they are given that opportunity, they would like to come and, you know, so that way, you know, you can get children from all over the world, and they can get their education in, of course, the basic language will be English, but they'll also have options for two other major languages, you know, say French and Spanish. Now, if you can cover these three languages, then you can take children from all over the world, right? And give them the best of both worlds. Give them the, you know, Western dynamism and Eastern spiritualism, right? Make a perfect blending of that, because that's what the leaders need to know. A leader must have proper spiritual education, otherwise how will they guide their followers? And, you know, like, and it is possible to get, and, you know, like, I can get help already. You know, I am speaking to people, like those who have been retired principals of the best schools, you know, best private schools in India, and they are prepared to help me, you know, giving, you know, they can even, you know, some of them can even come and become the principal of the school. They can be in the advisory board, they can be in. And India is a country, like, say, for example, in America, where, as I was saying, like, you have to pay a teacher, you know, $2,000 at least. And this kind of teacher, you have to pay $5,000, you know, real high-class teacher. But there, you know, if you're paying even $300 a month to a teacher, you know, like, you'll get the best teachers. And if we get devotees to teach there, you know, they're also not really going to teach there for money. They're going to teach for the idealism, for the ideals. And, you know, if their things are taken care of, you know, like, they have enough money to maintain themselves decently, you know, they'll be happy, you know, like, and the thing is that what, I mean, the kind of standard of living that you get in America spending $3,000, in India you can get the same lifestyle spending $300.
It's a much better idea. Is that what you're doing in Ujjain?
I'm planning to.
Yeah.
I'm planning to.
I hope that I get the chance to be a part of it. Don't leave me out.
Sure not. Sure not, yeah. As I am saying, like, it's a dream, because, you know, like, I haven't done anything about it. I'm negotiating for a land, 100 acres of land. Now, why 100 acres? Because, you know, like, a school of that kind, you know, should have sufficient land so that, you know, like, the students can, you know, grow up, you know, in a healthy environment. And, you know, I can't have very good school in the middle of a city. You know, it's always better to isolate the children, you know. And at the same time, you give them a proper awareness of what's going on in the outside world. And now, you know, like, okay, you give them the education, the school, you give them the understanding, you give them, you know, the academical understanding, and at the same time, you know, spiritual foundation. And after school, let them go out and go to the college and face the world. And while they're growing up also, let them have interchange with the other school children. Let them also participate in, you know, games and sports and other competitions.
And one time you were saying we should have our own universities, and Prabhupada didn't seem to like so much.
That will take, you see, setting up a school is difficult, but to set up an university is 100 times more difficult. That will happen, but let us start off with a school. And consider, you know, like, if these children are coming out, and if they're going to Harvard and Princeton and, you know, Oxford and Cambridge, you know, let them face it out there, you know, like, because people recognize that. You know, if we have our university, people will not give any recognition. But if a student is coming out of Harvard, you know, they'll say, yes, he's a Harvard graduate. So, and let them excel in their field. You know, like, let them become the most successful people in the world. Let them become the army generals, let them become, you know, state presidents. And that is how, you know, Krishna consciousness will have its recognition and establishment. And why not? You know, devotees of Krishna are meant to be the best. So that's why I was saying, like, I don't think in terms of Gurukul. When you say Gurukul, what comes to your mind? After they finish the school, they will be absorbed in the temple and they will continue that life, brahmachari life. But, you know, you'll find most of the children are not really cut out for that. We are seeing our youth, how many of our youth are actually taking to full-time active Krishna consciousness? Some probably will, but most of them will not. So give them the option. Give them the option. Let them decide what they want to do. Whether they, and you know, like if they want to become a full-time devotee, fine, they can. But let's prepare them in such a way that they can go out and face the outside world. Yes, you want to say something?
It's all right. I'm sorry I walked in the middle.
Yeah, that's right.
But what you're talking about is quite relevant because I have two small children, you know. And I kind of wish there was, like my son, he has to go to a Carmi school right now, you know, because this is not really any choice. And I can see that, you know, he gets a lot of influence by his association and all that, and it's like the things he likes and desires and he has, the kind of toys he wants to get, it's all influenced by the, you know, with all the kind of kids like, you know, and I find it kind of frustrating because I know, like, these things aren't that great, you know, like the Star Wars and all this kind of Tomasic stuff, you know, but sometimes, like you were saying, they need to be able to relate with the outside world and all that, but isn't there a certain amount of, like, you have to protect them from certain things too, like too much exposure to all the stuff that, you know, with the association with the Karmis, they'll get influenced, you know, more to be more like them and rather than them. Like I tell him sometimes, you know, when you go there, you don't want to be like them. You want them to be like you. You know, you want to give them, I don't know how much a six-year-old can understand, but at the same time, like when he comes to stay in my place, he begs and begs that he wants to watch all these, like, the whole stash of these Karmi cartoons, you know, Disney and all this, and somehow he accumulated those. And I was letting him watch them for a while. At a certain point, I started to think, wait a minute, I don't know if that. Watching those things doesn't much good. There's so much Krishna conscious things for children. So I just refuse to let him watch it when he says, I want that. I just say no. And he cries a little bit. But then when I say, all right, why don't we watch Ramayana now and Mahabharata? And he watches it, you know, and he's happy. So, the question I have is, do I need to let him watch those things in order to make him like a balanced person, or should I stick with my guns and refuse? Especially some of the
things. You see, that's why we...
Yeah.
That is the problem, you know. Like, the outside influence is so strong that it is very difficult to avoid that influence, you know. On the other hand, if we have some situation, you know, like we have our school where... In a way, they are actually getting the understanding of both. They're getting to know. Say, they let them watch also Star Wars. And at the same time, you give them the understanding that, look, this is not really going to help you in any way. It's just all fiction. It's all fiction. And what are they actually trying to say? Right. The thing is that what are they trying to say? In the Star Wars and in all these movies and all these things, they're actually trying to say that there is somebody who can save us from a calamity. Right? There is somebody who can save us from a dangerous situation. That is the hero. Right? So, actually these are all fiction, but the real hero is Krishna. And Krishna can, actually what they are trying to say, indirectly they are actually trying to, you know, portray what Krishna should have been. I don't know about Star Wars, but I can imagine, like really that's what they are trying to show, right? Like, say, I'll okay, I can think of Superman, right? The Superman, he has a superpower, and with the superpower, he is always doing good to others. The bad guys are being punished and good guys are being protected. Now that is what Krishna actually does in reality, right? So if we give them a proper understanding, you know, in a systematic way, and they learn to discriminate between a fiction and absolute reality. And then let them go out. You decide now. Because come to think of it, you know, we had the option to see both the worlds. Right? We had the option to see the degraded material world, and we also then got the option to accept Krishna consciousness. And we made the choice ourselves. Right? So that, in that case, we, in that way we are fortunate. And now, come to think of it, they are not getting a choice. We are just forcing them, giving them only one option, only Krishna consciousness. And that world, you know, don't even look at it. Right? Rather, I would say, since they're fine, they're growing up in a Krishna conscious environment, but also at some point give them the option to make their choice. Let them decide. And you decide whether you want to. And that's the thing that we have to bring them up with, the ideas. Like, you know, say, why the scriptures are so important. Say, for example, you let the children grow up with Ramayana. Let them grow up with Mahabharata. Right? And that way, you see, they learn what is right and what is wrong. If you give them the understanding, then you will see they will line up with Ram, they'll never line with Ravan. Right? And then, you know, they will like to develop the qualities of Ram. They like to develop the qualities of Pandavas. And they will line up with Pandavas. They will line up with, that is how they will become Krishna conscious. Right? So we have to mold them from their, you know, giving them the proper, you know, upbringing, giving them the proper understanding. But if we just tell them, this is bad, you shouldn't watch that, you know, that is Maya, without giving and proper explanation and proper substantiation, you know, they will not accept it. Today they may be accepting your words, your guidance, because, you know, he knows he'll have to listen to you. But day after tomorrow, when he grows up and he has the option, he'll say goodbye, Dad, and he will opt for that world because he doesn't know anything better than that. Therefore, we have to give them both the choice and then give them the leave it up to them which one they would choose, for the, whether they would take the worst way or the better way.
Just in the short time that I've been a devotee, I've observed what children grow up and which ones stay in Krishna consciousness and which ones leave. And there seem to be three vital components. Love them, set a good example, and don't cram Krishna consciousness down their throat.
Right, yeah.
And I was really careful not to do that with my children, and it didn't set the best example. But they're all three devotees and they have faith. And just observing other
very people. Very good, yeah. Right. Yeah. Just don't shove it down their throat, yeah. Because they'll resent it. They'll resent it. Rather, you know, help them to grow with love. When they see that you love them, then for your sake, you know, they won't do the wrong thing. Yes.
But like if I give them, like say that I want to watch so and so, you know, there's a lot, he's got a whole bunch of them, you know. If I say no, then he kicks and screams. He's 6 years old, you know. And then I say no, and he, at first he doesn't like it, but then if I said like then I put on Ramayana or Mahabharata or something.
That's also
he,
another problem, like, you know.
He goes, all right, he
I mean, we are so young, our movement is so young. It's not that young actually, we have been around for almost 45 years. And, but the thing is, in we have not generated enough material for our children. Like, you know, in the, I mean, they have, you know, Star Wars, they have Superman, they have Spider-Man, they have Batman, and they have so many, every year something is, they have Harry Potter, they have, you know, Lord of the Rings, and they have all this stuff. On our side, what do we have? We have nothing. We have this, you know, Bollywood, Ramayana and Mahabharata, you know, that was all, you know. So that's, but that's not also our production, right? Somebody, you know, some karmi guy, you know, produced it for, to make some quick buck. And that, this is how we are actually lacking and we are failing. We haven't created enough substance, enough material for our children. I mean, they want to see Batman, what substitute can we give them? If we had some production of the same, if not of the same quality, or at least some quality, then we could have shown them, okay, so what did you learn from Batman? You ask him, after watching Batman, what did you learn? And then you show him, Ramayana. And then you ask him, after watching this, what did you learn? In this way, you know, like you can, you know, make them grow up on their own, on their own way. One thing I can tell you, like Abhaycharan, I mean, it didn't get any support and thing from within our grown-up community of ISKCON, but the children love it. Like that's about the only production that ISKCON, I'll tell you, like that's the only production ISKCON had so far. Ramayana and Mahabharata and all that, that's not even ISKCON production, it's just borrowed and copying, not copying, what is called pirating actually.
Children come up to me all the time all over the world. Children come up to me all over the world all the time.
Saying
more to an Abhi Charan.
Yeah.
All the time.
I get letters from parents, you know. I used to, not so much nowadays. That how their children are appreciating this movie.
Even the adults.
Hmm?
Even the adults. I see my mom, for example. She started to take tears in the movement when she saw the production. Because before I had never anything to show her, and she's not interested to read in. So she really took it seriously when she saw such endeavor in such big work. She started, oh, not even 1, 18.
But I tell you, from within ISKCON I got no support, practically. You know, no appreciation also, you know, like, and that is the unfortunate thing, that shows the unfortunate state of affairs. Why will people be excited or interested or enthused to do anything, you know, if they don't get any recognition, if they don't get any appreciation? I did it for 8 years, it took me. I didn't get any financial support, I didn't get any other support, so to say. But fault finding, you'll find many. Oh, this is not like Prabhupada. This person doesn't look like this. And, you know, why women have been so shown in this way, and, you know. Anyway, that doesn't discourage me. I'm carrying on in my own way. Because it doesn't matter, because I'm not doing whatever I'm doing is not for my sake. Whatever I'm doing is for Srila Prabhupada.
I put it in my MP3 player and I play it in the car whenever I go, what do you want to listen to now? That one. And he likes it and he sings along with it and all and everything. It's all because of, since he heard it on the Vaishnavan. It's a good thing it gets in the chant. You know? I really appreciate that.
I'm not sure if this is an appropriate question to ask, but I'll take the chance to ask you. If you think it's not appropriate, you don't have to answer it. I notice that maybe I'm not exposed wide enough to know the inside workings of ISKCON, but I notice from what I've read and what I've heard, that it seems to me that apart from you, not many of our leaders are making a very conscientious effort to bring this organization together and flourish. And from my personal observations, what is lacking, in my opinion, is the personal touch of the leaders. This is simply my observation, and I might be wrong. And the personal touch, to me, is important.
Well, my response to that will be that we have to recognize that this movement is very young. And, you know, our leadership is also very young. And Prabhupada set up this movement in a glorious way. But, you know, Prabhupada left the planet and there had been many difficulties. Also, for various reasons, you know, the movement has gone through a major crisis. So we are actually going through a crisis period. But it will pass. And I am confident that this movement is here to stay, and this movement is here to establish Krishna consciousness all over the world, in every town and village. So let us be optimistic. Or let's not only optimistic, you know, let's maintain that confidence. It will happen. And the thing is that we are here to serve. So the big leader means a big servant, right? Big leader is not a big lord and master. Right? In Krishna consciousness, a big leader means a big servant. Whoever serves, he will be recognized in the eyes of Krishna and Prabhupada. So with that, let us just carry on serving. There is crisis, and that crisis also there in every sphere. Let's try to overcome that. And personally, I feel that, you know, the whatever I'm getting or whatever I'm doing is an opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada. So that is my good fortune. I'm getting a getting the opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada and serve his ISKCON. And others also will. Also, maybe I'm in a fortunate position. Because I had the good fortune of being with Srila Prabhupada, and as a result of that I understood Prabhupada's mood, what Prabhupada wanted, and also I think the Indian body also helps, you know. Because the Oriental culture is, less materially inclined, less passionate. Right. So, you know, these are maybe few advantages, and let me utilize those advantages for my own spiritual benefit. The main thing is that we haven't come here to get big positions, but we have come to ISKCON to serve. So let us serve. And if I can motivate you, encourage you, I consider that's my good fortune. And I have many dreams. Let's see to what extent I can fulfill them. I often tell people that the difference between a dream and vision is when the dream takes its shape. That means when the dream becomes a reality, then the dream becomes a vision. But if it doesn't become a reality, it's a dream, but there's no harm dreaming. Because first you have to dream, then only we can think of making it into a reality. What are they cooking? Shrivash? Ki banachha tumra? See, you're taking so much time. Mother Sita is leaving now.